Good evening and welcome to our meeting of Mid Ulster District Council in the Chamber Dungannon, whether you've joined us remotely or in the Chamber. And I specifically want to welcome members of the public watching through the live broadcast. I'm not going to go through the housekeeping because we should have it all well rehearsed by now. And just to remind the public and press that taking photographs of proceedings or using any means to enable anyone not present to see or hear proceedings or make a simultaneous oral report of the proceedings are not permitted. So thank you, and we'll move on to the first item on the agenda. So have we any apologies?
Okay. Chair, apologies, Councillor Molloy. And Councillor Elator may be joining us later on virtually, but at this stage, it's an apology.
Okay, I'll just run through the roll anyway, just to be sure. So, Councillor Ashton? Here. Councillor Bale? Oh, he's there. Councillor Black?
Here.
Councillor Brown?
He might be able to do
this. Okay. Councillor Buchanan?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Burton?
Yes.
Councillor Clark?
Yeah. On show.
Councillor Colvin?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Cuddy? Councillor Cuthbertson?
Yeah.
Councillor Doris? Councillor Ford?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Gilderney?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Glasgow?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Kearney?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Kerr?
Here, Chair.
Councillor Mullaghan?
Here.
Councillor Martin?
Here, Chair.
Councillor McAleer? Niall McAleer? Oh, there's Niall there. Councillor Sean McAleer?
Present.
Councillor McFlynn?
Here, Chair.
Councillor Brian McGuigan?
Here, Chair.
Councillor Sean McGuigan?
Here, Chair.
Councillor McKenna?
Here, Chair.
Councillor McLean?
Present.
Councillor McNamee?
Here, Chair.
Councillor Donald McPeak?
Here, Chair.
Councillor Sean McPeak?
Here, Chair.
Councillor Ian Mullen? Councillor Monteith?
Here.
Councillor Mullen?
Here.
Councillor O'Neill? Councillor Quinn?
Present, Chair.
Councillor Robinson? Councillor Totten?
Here, Chair.
Councillor Wilson? Okay. Okay, thank you. And if we have any declarations of interest, you can declare now or as we move through the meeting.
Chair, I'm here also. I didn't find the mute button there. So.
You're grand.
Thank you. Yeah.
Sorry. Cora, I'm here as well. I'm with Al McAleer.
Gotcha. Okay, so I'll move to the next item, Chair's Business. So members, I want to start my remarks this evening by, on behalf of the members and officers of Mid Ulster District Council, extend my condolences to our colleague, Councillor Meta Graham, on the sudden passing and burial today of her husband, Lawrence. Any bereavement is difficult, and even more so at this time of year. Our thoughts and prayers are with Meta, their children, Christopher, Lauren and Jodie, and the wider family circle. Okay. Councillor Glasgow, you're looking to come in there.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for those nice remarks. I don't even know what really to say, but as you said, you know, it's a terrible tragedy when one loses their soulmate, their partner, and in particular their husband as well. And I think it was a big testimony today. The amount of people that attended Lawrence's funeral was a true testimony in the importance that he played within his family role. As the minister said within his sermon delivery today, Lawrence's dedication to his wife Mita, his mother Lily, and to his children Christopher, Jodie and Lauren, and to his grandchildren, I think says a lot of words and says a lot of actions. And on behalf of the Ulster Unionist Party grouping, we too would like to express our sincere condolences, and that Mita and her family will be in our thoughts and prayers as the days go ahead.
Councillor Sean McAleer.
Thank you, Chair. Also, the SDLP want to pass on their sincere condolences as well to Meeta and to her family. I got to know Meeta very well since she joined the council, and because we're all from the Clare Valley, would have met often at a lot of different functions, and I felt like I knew her family very well because a lot of our conversations were about family, and I know they had a very strong family unit, and I did go up to visit her, and I just was heartbroken for her, so sincerely sorry. Thank you.
Councillor Barton.
Thank you, Chair. Also on behalf of the DUP party, we feel very vexed as well on the sudden bereavement that Meeta and her family suffered at the beginning of this week. Something with such suddenness that comes to any family, and as has already been said, at a Christmas time always makes it that bit more poignant. But today, I think the people of the Clocker Valley turned out to show Meeta and to show her children and the wider family circle how much she means to the area. And we just, as a party, would want to remember her in our thoughts and prayers in the days and weeks that lie ahead, because it will be a very tough time for the family, but just sincere condolences to the Graham family and as well for the mother as well. It's a big loss for Lily as well. So that would be some of my comments. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Kerr.
Sure, I'd just like to pass on my condolences to Meeta on the loss of her husband. She'll be in my thoughts in the next weeks and months ahead. It's very, very sad any time, but particularly close to Christmas. I'm very sad to hear.
Councillor Monteith.
Similarly, folks, sympathies with Meeta and her family. As has been said, I'd like to be associated with the comments previously made by many councillors. It's a sad time for them, and we're thinking of them all.
Okay. Councillor Sean McGuigan.
Thank you, Chair. Again, on behalf of myself personally, and also on behalf of Sinn Féin, just to extend our deepest sympathy to Meeta and our family circle, and just to echo the comments that has been sent around the chamber to her tonight, that we extend our heartfelt sympathy and our deepest prayers at this time. Thank you.
Councillor Gilderney.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, could I, on behalf of myself and Geraldine, offer our sincere condolences to Meeta. A very, very pleasant colleague in Clare Valley, pleasant to work with in every respect. I found her to be a lady, and our heartfelt prayers go with her in this sad time. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm just going to move on to the rest of Chair's business here. It's been shorter than usual, but no less busy time than we previously met. A highlight of that time for me as Chair of the Council was the return of the Christmas Light Switch-On events. Thousands of our residents attended across the district as the events returned after a keenly felt 2-year absence. So it was wonderful to see all the happy faces, especially of the children, some who had never attended a Christmas event before. And the lights certainly brightened up all our town centres. It was an absolute pleasure at the start of December to host Mid-Ulster District Council's very first Chair Sea Dance at the Burnavon in Cookstown. Everyone had a great time chatting, enjoying great food by Joanne Loughran and team, and music by Marie Garda. It was great to see plenty of new friendships being made, and the afternoon was topped off by our special guest, the Queen of Country Music, Philomena Begley, who gave us a few songs, the kids from Awesome, who gave attendees beautiful handmade Christmas cards, and of course, Santa himself. This time of the year, many of our thoughts turned to time spent with family. Just this week, I had the honour of meeting the new Lithuanian ambassador and representatives of the Lithuanian community, who have made Mid-Ulster their family home. I also attended the A Christmas Tale event organised by Baltic Together, which included performances, Family Fun Day and Craft Market. It's fantastic to see the diversity in Mid-Ulster and to once again have events to bring people and families together, especially over Christmas. However, this year, as we all look forward to resuming our normal celebrations and meetings again with family and friends, we need to remain mindful that Christmas isn't a time of joy for everyone, and some people find it most difficult and challenging time of the year, including those who have lost a loved one in poor health or struggling financially. It's important we bear this in mind and, if possible, give extra consideration to the plight of others who are struggling or in need at this time. If we could carry out one small act of kindness to potentially make someone's Christmas, whether this is visiting an elderly neighbour or making a donation to a local food bank, it could make a real difference. So thank you all. And a couple other items of Chair's business here. So Councillor Kearney.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Thanks very much. Chair, I recently met Mr. Martin Mackay, a native of Upperland, but who now lives in Belfast. He is the man behind an Antrim-based assistive software company for people with dyslexia. 2 weeks ago, he was named International and Overall 2022 EY Entrepreneur of the Year. He's a former pupil of Ampertain Primary School and Rinnie and Dowd School in Maharfelt, and he launched Text Help in 1996 when his father suffered a stroke, leaving him unable to speak and communicate. Text Help is now used by 50 million people around the world. The company employs 350 staff globally, with around 130 based in Antrim. It has offices in Boston, Sweden, Norway and Australia. Chair, in the first instance, I would ask you to write congratulating Mr. Mackay on his tremendous educational achievement. He indicated also that he would like to put something back into Mid-Ulster in recognition of his primary, post-primary and third level education. So I believe he can make a positive contribution to our Economic Development Unit, Mega, Enterprise Week or perhaps our Labour Partnership. So I would ask our officers to establish contact with Mr. Mackay and with a view to explore possible options. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, and I'm happy to second that proposal if it needs one. It's great work that he's done and giving people the ability to be able to communicate, and we'll certainly look at getting in contact. So thank you. And Councillor Kerr, you had a couple of items.
Sure, thanks very much for letting me in. Firstly, I'd just like to wish Galby Football Club the very best of luck this weekend in Ulster Final Championship. It was previously scheduled for last week, but due to icy conditions, it was rearranged for this weekend. Hopefully they can emulate the success of Sheerstown and bring the Ulster glory home. Chair, secondly, I'd just like to raise about the youth services in Killeen area. From speaking to the local youth leader, the Education Authority has plans to slash services by half, meaning half resources, half the staff, half the events, etc. My local youth club, Ogres, provides a great outlet for young people in the area. In fact, they should be provided with more resources, Chair. So, Chair, I'd just like to propose that we have an urgent meeting between ourselves and the Education Authority to fight the corner of our youth clubs and ask them to reverse this decision immediately. Thank you again, Chair.
Okay. Councillor Brian McGuigan.
Thanks, Chair. Just in relation to the youth services there, I know Councillor Kerr has referred to his own area there in terms of youth provision, and he's correct when he says that the severe cut coming down the road or has already been earmarked for the Education Youth Service. This, in terms of these cuts, this is right across the youth service, especially in our own constituency of Mid-Ulster. I would have worked closely with the Maharfelt team that would deliver youth services in Ballinascreen, Mahara and the surrounding area, Maharfelt as well. And that is really going to impact on those services, you know, on the ground and the great services that they are. And I know going forward, I don't know what, but the situation looks bleak in terms of that, and it's going to leave a massive gap within those services. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Monteith.
Chair, it was the second Councillor Kerr's proposal, and if he was happy enough winding it out to other groups that are going to be impacted by this. I am a former member of staff at the Ngan Youth Club, or the Ngan Youth Resource Centre, as it is known now, and I was speaking to the staff today, and again, the way it's explained to me is that these cuts are going to predominantly attack the voluntary sector within the youth service. And the way they put it to me was, if the cut was spread across all youth centres, it might be in the region of 1,000 or 2,000 a year, which may be sort of swallowable. But the problem on it is that it's directly only the voluntary youth providers that are having their funding slashed, and they're going to be restricted to numbers of 35 in relation to ratio of the need for staff and things again. So for an example, the Ngan Youth Resource Centre last night had 75 young people at their drop-in and over 25 young people at structured programmes. So that would no longer be possible under this new current funding strategy. So again, it's important that we meet with the EA as soon as possible, but it's also important that we bring the affected youth organisations on board as well, get our officers, get a conversation with them, get the facts up, and I think we should be pushing that even that meeting has to be on Zoom, whatever the case is. You know, this meeting has to happen now because we can't wait to January and February, you know, late January and February for this, because these organisations have to put together their budgets and things they got. Honestly, like anything, if this is allowed to go through, it actually puts in question the long-term viability of the Ngan Youth Resource Centre and I know also of Ogris in Killeen, and there may well be others in the council area as well. So I think it's vital that we seek this meeting urgently, and if it has to be by Zoom, then that's grand. The quicker we get talking to the people, then the powers that be, the better. But it's important we bring the youth providers on board, that they talk to their officers quickly, and we offer the invitation to the youth providers to come and speak to councillors at a future meeting. Now, hopefully, they may not have to take up that opportunity that is sorted out beforehand, but that the opportunity is there for them if this campaign is still ongoing in January.
Councillor Sean McGuigan.
Sorry, Chair. Thank you. Again, like Barry, I spoke to the staff down in Dungan Youth Resource Centre today, and again came across all the figures that Barry alluded to. I suppose the stark reality is we're talking in terms of their cuts initially, which will be almost 20% of their budget, which I think no matter how they work it, it's going to be cuts within the members of staff, and also obviously the potential of the programmes that they can do with the young ones that they're doing at present. So again, it's a matter of trying to sit down here and talk it out with the education authorities again on this and ask for a reconsideration. So again, a supporting of the proposal made by Councillor Kerr. Thank you.
Okay, and Councillor Quinn.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just to be associated with all the comments made so far. Speaking of Ogris in particular, it's my own area, and it's not just the cuts coming from the EAA, it's the cuts that they have to face from every sector at the minute. They may get money from different other pots, which are all being slashed, and without youth centre, particularly in Killeen, I would be afraid to think of what's happened to the young people. And I do think, particularly around Halloween, where we all come together to try and get events organised, keep people off the streets, keep them out of trouble, and the vital role that the youth centre in Killeen plays in all that and helping organise that and look after the children, it keeps the children off the streets, it gives them a structure, it gives them something to come home to, and it is absolutely vital. And Killeen wouldn't be half the town it is today without the youth centre. And to hear these cuts coming down and the dedication that we have from the young people that are over it, that are employed by it, if we lost that, we'd lost. I'd be afraid to think of actually what we'd lose in Killeen, Chair, to be perfectly honest. So I'm happy to support Councillor Kerr's motion. The sooner the better that we have this meeting, and we need to get it organised. Thank you.
Okay, and completely agree with all the comments there. I would work closely with your service in our area as well, and the services they provide are absolutely invaluable, so happy to support. Okay, so we'll move on to matters for decision then. So item 5, council minutes from the 24th of November. Any issues? No? Okay, can I get a proposer and seconder? Okay, Councillor Kerr and a seconder. Councillor McNamee. Okay, and item 6, policy and resources minutes from the 1st of December. Any issues?
Chair.
Councillor McAleer? No, no propose. Okay.
Just one comment. You know, it's the Transformation Committee. We had a meeting recently in the last few nights. It's great to see it up and going. It's through the PNR committee that will be delivered. This probably is one of the most important committees that we've started. You know, it's important we do get more momentum put into it. simply because, you know, in the next 2 or 3 months we're going to be spending an awful lot of extra hours to find out how we're going to balance the books for next year in Mid Ulster Council. So this committee, if it works well and gets support, and I do think there's some, you know, we've got a fairly high level of officers there, and I think we'll have a good team so if we can get more attention paid to it, and more simply because, you know, we talked about this in July and we've had our first meeting, and, you know, the IT broke down, you know, so 20 minutes in, you know, a lot of members, you were there, you know, it doesn't set us off on the right foot. So I just hope that we can get a couple of early wins. We can get a wee bit too bogged down on bureaucracy and everything. You know, if it's good ideas, you know, there's a bit of work being done to the reception, and there's a nice balance between getting people to where they want to go, as well as, you know, being able to talk to a human being, which is very important. But, you know, we need to be coming forward with ideas. And if they're coming from the staff or coming from consultants or coming from councillors, you know, if we're going to make this council one of the most efficient and effective councils in the future, it's going to come through this committee and give people the empowerment that they can come forward with a good idea that will, you know, will help to make this organisation run more smoothly. I'm not talking about losing. I don't want anybody to lose a job. I want to be able to deliver more with the same money, Chair. So I hope we can get our heads together and get a bit of momentum going on this committee over the next few months. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Gildeney?
Proposed recommendation, Chair. Minutes,
PR. Second. Is that okay? I have a proposer. A second. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Okay, and item 7, environment minutes from the meeting of the 5th of December.
Proposed, Chair.
Okay, so Councillor Shumagwigan,
Apologies, Chair, I hadn't my mic on, so sorry about that. No, I'm not on this committee, but I just wanted to raise that wee section there. It's under E285/22 about our off-street car parking accessibility and etc. No, I welcome this that we're going to do the car parking strategy, but I had a read through the minutes and I looked at the video of it. And the officer that delivered it said that on going forward, this council should be under guidance. A lot of our off-street parking, 50% more of it should be for equality and accessible places. So I welcome that we're doing a trial in Macrofelt, but I see the recommendation here is that we're going to have an extra 3 car parking spaces. I'm just wondering, is that enough, Chair? To have 3. We have 4 disabled bays there at the minute, but to run a proper trial, is 3 enough? Thank you.
Councillor Gildeney, is your hand up from the last time? Yeah. Okay. Can I get a seconder for the minutes there? Councillor Brian McGuigan. Councillor Kerr, and Ashley.
Thanks, Chair, for letting me in. Chair, E287/22. Chair, can a report be brought back to the next meeting regarding the design of bus shelters? Some constituents have contacted me about some shelters being too small and not weather or element proof, Chair.
Chair, just in relation to Councillor McFlynn's comments. Obviously, this was considered in some detail by the committee, and I don't want to speak on behalf of the committee, but the recommendation that was made by the officer is well within the regulations in terms of the availability of disabled car parking spaces. So we're satisfied with the recommendation. We're also satisfied with the decision of the committee.
And Dan's one was there.
Get a second if it don't.
Can I
second the minutes, Chair?
I have a seconder for that, but I need a seconder for Councillor Kerr's proposal there on the bus shelters to bring a report back.
Have you okay.
Okay, and item 8, planning committee minutes from the 6th of December. Councillor Monaghan propose and Councillor Dona McPeak second. Any issues there? No. Okay, and item 9, Development Committee minutes from the 7th of December. Okay, Councillor Sean Clark and Councillor John McKnight. And any issues there? All okay. Okay, and item 10, conference report. Follow up.
Thank you, Chair. It's just to provide an update on seminars and conferences received and to seek approval for elected member attendance and officer attendance and the payment of registration attendance fees and associated costs incurred. The conference is attached there in Appendix A, and it's just for approval. Chair.
Okay. Who was that? Councillor Kearney. Okay, and can I get a proposer and seconder? Councillor Kay.
Have you proposed?
And Councillor Byrne, thank you. And item 11, Civic Recognition Report. Councillor Kerr, and a seconder. Councillor Tom McNamee, thank you. And matters for information then, so consultations.
Obviously this report is just to update members on the consultations notified to Middlesbrough Council for comment and provide an update on recently requested responses. So attached is under Appendix A is the detail of the current consultations, and Appendix B contains a draft response to the BVD consultation, which was in draft, and it's just for approval as well.
Proposer and seconder. Okay, can I get a proposer and seconder? Councillor Monaghan. Oh, you're looking.
It's just on the consultation from the Northern Trust in terms of maternity services. I think it would be important at this stage that we would take a look at that further through the relevant committee, because if there's a plan there in some way of moving services from Causeway to Antrim, I just wonder how much additional pressure that's going to put on for services for people who live here in the Northern Trust area. So I think it would be important that we had just had a look at it to see what the effects might be and to provide a response if it's necessary.
Okay, and Councillor Clark, just a second. Okay, and I completely agree with the comments by Councillor Monaghan there. We're all aware of the pressures our hospitals are under, and we've seen that in Antrim a number of times, so happy to support that. Item 13,
Information as well.
Sure, just in correspondence, just regarding Noah Donoghue's case, I'm not surprised at the answer. Safe to say, we already knew what the answer was going to be. It's hugely disappointing that all material regarding the case is not available to Noah's legal team. How can accountability and transparency prevail in this case? Will any sort of doubt remains? I just hope Noah's family get the truth and justice that they deserve, Chair. Thanks.
Councillor Monteith.
Chair, on correspondence on 3-6, disappointingly again, response from the Water Chief Executive about the mast on the Hill O'Neill on Castle Hill. And I think it's extremely disingenuous, the version that they're putting across there. And it more or less is trying to close down discussions which we had hoped a couple of years ago were going to lead somewhere, but I don't think we should let it sit at this, and I would propose that we seek a meeting with them. There's nobody saying that, you know, if you asked any of the folk who need the communications infrastructure up there, do they want to be there? Of course they want to be there, but they don't have to be on a monstrosity like the monstrosity that is there. It is a legacy of the British military installation, and there are many ways now of doing communication infrastructure now which are far better aesthetically, and there are ample possible positions on the site, including the piece of land which we have continually asked for from the water folk is the Cap Reservoir. And again, they keep refusing to engage in the conversation about opening that out to the public, which completely opens up the other side of the facility. And there's no reason why those areas like that couldn't be investigated for communication infrastructure. So it's with great disappointment that we see this again. And I think if the water folk were just honest and said they're getting paid, the mobile operators, therefore they're not prepared to discuss with them. I don't think it's acceptable. Just because it has been there doesn't mean it should be there. And there's no way that that would ever be built in this day and age. And I think a body like the water folk that are heavily reliant on public funding can't just ignore what the local authority is saying. So I'd propose that we seek an urgent meeting with them again and urge them to engage in meaningful dialogue, because that's just a return to the position of a number of years ago, and they had moved from that position. I'm not saying significantly, Chair, but they had moved from that position, so it's disappointing to see that they've regressed back towards it, Chair. But if we're going to make a go of the Hill O'Neill, that mast has to go.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, so I'm happy to second that. I know Council have been working hard to seek alternatives. Councillor Colvin.
Chair, I want to talk about this correspondence from the Permanent Secretary in respect of planning. Is that okay? This is an amazing letter. I don't know if anybody's taking the time to read through it in any detail or not. First of all, we're complaining about the delay in the NIA response to consultations. So the Permanent Secretary starts off by apologising that her letter is late arriving with us, albeit only for a few days. And then it becomes clear as we go on through the letter that the reason why we've got this problem is because we, as a council, have decided to have a standalone ICT system, which actually I think is far superior to anything we've had before. But I wasn't aware of the fact it was actually our fault that the NIA are not responding in time. In fact, when you look at the statistics that she has presented herself, you find that it wasn't that great in 2019-20, long before we had put our ICT system in place. And in fact, if we were to take these figures back for, say, 15 or 20 years and ask for how good they are responding, we'll find that the NIEA have never been that great at it. So I thought this was a rather bizarre response. And then at the end, she concludes by saying she didn't think that a meeting with her would be very helpful. And I'll have to say, Chair, on the evidence presented in those two pages, I would agree with her on that. I don't think it would be helpful at all. But I do think the content of that letter is very inappropriate, actually, to address to a council and to say it was actually her fault that everything is wrong and it didn't look at their own systems in particular. So I just thought I'd make that observation, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Mullaghan.
Chair, it's on the Castle Hill issue, and you know, this is a fairly negative response from the Chief Executive, and I'm wondering, would it be possible in this regard that we could somehow request to make a presentation to their board? Because if the Chief Executive isn't going to listen to us, it might have more sway with the board members. They might, if they've seen, or maybe were invited to come and visit Castle Hill to see exactly what their own asset up there is doing for the people in Dungannon and anybody that comes to visit it. So if we're not going to get any joy there, I propose we make a presentation to their board.
Okay, thank you both. Okay, and notice of motion then, so Councillor Kerr.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, the motion itself is self-explanatory. All major trade unions within the health service have voted overwhelmingly to take strike action for numerous reasons. They are the latest on a long line of public sector workers who have decided to take action and gather on the picket line. But the night this motion helps describe the demands of our health workers. Myself and Councillor Monteith joined the picket line on Monday at South Throne Hospital. We joined with NIPSA, Unison and other trade union members. From engaging with staff that day and in previous weeks, as well as speaking to trade union representatives, staff feel degraded to work in such a high demand or high risk and high demand job for so little pay and recognition. Nurses have described to me at first hand how patient welfare is their utmost priority, but this high stressful commitment is deteriorating as whether or not they are able to afford heat, food, electricity. This has taken a huge toll on many frontline NHS staff. We can all agree the NHS staff did a tremendous job during the recent pandemic, but unfortunately all they got was claps on a Thursday night or whatever night it was, I can't mind. Clapping doesn't feed or pay the bills. At the picket line on Monday, the many beeps by passing vehicles showed me the public is fully striking NHS staff. How could it not be when one of the demands is safe staff levels, which will provide a better service for patients? The below inflation pay rise on the table is a huge slap to the face of striking workers. Politicians who earn over 100 grand locally and elsewhere can say they're on the side of the workers, but they are far removed from reality. They must be living in a parallel universe. This motion is a show of solidarity to the striking workers, and I also hope that we can invite the various trade unions in to give us a presentation on ways of helping them get their demands. This will be a long-term fight, and I encourage their support of all the other political parties, and just to inform them that the Communication Workers Union is also locally having a picket on Christmas Eve, and encourage the public and other councillors to attend, because it's very, very, very important to show solidarity, because mainstream media would make you think otherwise, that the public isn't on their side, which is very, very far from the truth. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Donna McPeak.
Seconder for Councillor Kerr. I'm not.
Councillor Montes, sorry, apologies about
that. Yeah.
There's too many mics on.
Well, I finally second on the reserve right to speak again during the debate.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, as a shop steward for 15 years in the public sector, I know the benefits of being in a trade union. The place I work, more than minimum holidays, overtime after 40 hours, paid tea breaks, all because we've been in a union since the 1970s. I've been shop steward there for 15 years. We also saw during the summer in the industrial dispute with the council workers that the council negotiated with the unions and brought it to a satisfactory conclusion. A company or public sector working with unions can benefit both sides. Councillor Kerr has already alluded to the clapping for Kerrs, but eating bread soon forgotten. Recent weeks, party colleagues of mine have stood, including my wife is also a healthcare worker, I should state as well, frozen picket lines, trying to get a decent pay raise. And for that reason, and many others, we will be supporting this motion.
Okay. Councillor Monteith.
Chair, that has been said, it's very self-explanatory. It's incumbent upon all of us to support our local workers. While obviously this specific mention to the health workers, there are other organisations on strike, and in any situation we should always be supporting them. It's very difficult for workers to get their message out. Mainstream media eats up the mainstream, or the government and the big businesses' sound bites, and ordinary workers are throwing these information and questions at them, and it's not fair that people in this day and age have to stand and demand a fair week's wage for a fair bit of pay. It's quite clear that the labour market is broken and has been broken for some time. Work does not pay, and that is a fundamental problem within the capitalist system in which we currently exist. But it's a system that we're in, and at present, well, the best that we can do is try and ensure and promote that our workers locally and indeed further afield are getting the best deal that they can get. I think it's very sad that we're at the situation that we're at. It's very disappointing to see that many folk still feel reluctant to support the trade unions, at least publicly. But I would encourage people, as I have, and I know that myself and other councillors from across the political divides have been supporting them, and the people are beeping their horns. Even when I was there, people were arriving with sandwiches and hot food and hot drinks, and it's great to see. But this can only be resolved, as Councillor McPeak says, if the paymasters, as in the Department of Health and those government agencies, deal directly with the unions, as we had to do here, and rightly so. And I'm not for 1 minute saying that that's an easy process. It can be a very difficult and frustrating process. But the reality is, if you're not going to directly deal with people's issues and keep ignoring them and try and turn the public against their fellow workers, then that's why we end up in the mess that we're in. and to try and accuse people of being looking more than what they should get, and we can't afford it, and it's only going to drive up inflation and all this. This economic crisis was not created by the workers. It was created by the financial elite, and it's a disgrace that the financial and indeed sometimes the political elite try and tell the workers that it is somehow it is their fault, and if they get a decent wage that they'll actually be contributing to it. And I've said it in here before, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. The economic system we live in, sadly, takes the view that many people, there are jobs that people have, that the system wants done, but we are more, or the system, sorry, is more unhappy for people who live in poverty who are doing them. And if the system says a job needs done, then you get a fair job for doing it. Instead of all this parrot, need to get, oh, well, if you worked harder, if you got a second job, nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Only people who are not affected by economic crisis would come out with such rubbish. So I'm glad to be seconding this tonight, and it's only but right that organisations like this give a voice to the worker. For many years, rightly so, we've always given voice to local industry, to the very government agencies that come in here and give their version of what they're doing, and how they're moving forward strategically. It's time now for the worker to have a voice, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Kwan.
Thank you, Chair. Our health workers took to the picket lines in sub-zero temperatures on Monday and today in a last-ditch attempt to secure fair pay and safe working conditions for both themselves and patients. I'm struck by the determination and resolve, but deeply ashamed and disgusted at how these people who we ask so much of and who give everything they have to help people have been utterly failed by politics in the North. These workers have been failed by the Executive, and now the Secretary of State is letting the situation drift aimlessly with no urgency to resolve these issues. Health staff aren't asking for the earth, they just want to be paid fairly so that they can heat their homes, put food on the table and drive to work without getting themselves into debt. This action isn't only about money. Staff are sick of being asked to go above and beyond while working in understaffed, unsafe conditions, putting both themselves and patients at risk. The situation should never have been allowed to deteriorate to this stage, and with the DUP's ongoing boycott of the institutions hurting everyone on earth, we need to see the Secretary of State make an intervention to recognise these concerns of health workers and end this strike action. Chair, as some of you know, I've recently had a loved one in the hospital for a long period of time, and what they witnessed and what I witnessed was wards that were understaffed, overprescribed. There wasn't enough beds on the ward that they had to bring beds and make temporary beds in the likes of the nursing station. They didn't have the staff to go around. The staff that they did have were on the receiving end of some of the worst abuse that I have ever seen people receive in my lifetime, and that's no exaggeration. Nurses that were just trying to do the job, help their patients in the full force of language that I couldn't describe, and threats of violence, etc. That's what they face on a daily basis. That's why they are out picketing. It's not about pay, it's about conditions, it's about deteriorating health service, and it's about keeping their patients safe and themselves safe while doing it. Chair, so we as a party are happy to support this motion.
Okay, Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And there's no point repeating what's already been said. I believe as well that nurses, and not only nurses, but the health care sector right across deserves a pay rise and deserves one that is affordable and is also which will help them as well. I think the biggest issue on this is the fact that listening today to the debate that the government are saying that their door is always open. But it seems to be that door is always open to somebody part of the nursing fraternity. So I would appeal to the government to work with the nursing profession to try to reach a settlement, because there's no doubt that they are greatly stretched and under immense pressure for little money. It was interesting this morning, I was going away, and I listened to a radio program this morning, and I heard a health professional on this morning saying that this just didn't happen overnight. It happened, it was 10 years ago that this started. And I look back when I had time, I looked back those 10 years to see what actually was happening. And we actually had at that particular time the DUP, Sinn Féin and the Alliance Party all voting to cut the health budget. And it takes 10 years, I assume, that because it takes 10 years to train doctors and nurses and things like that, that that's where that came from. But the other issue as well, and was it was very, I don't know, I just couldn't believe what I was actually hearing, where nurses were going in to do their work and having to pay car parking charges. And, like, those charges, I think now, ranged anything from £5 up a day. And if you take somebody that's working 5-6 days a week, even at the lowest, it could be up as high as £10-11, but even at the lowest, that's another £30 that they're having to pay. I don't know of any other workers, and I stand to be corrected in this, that there's not a car park around their building that has to pay. So I think, following on from the motion, I think that that needs to be included within that, if it was possible, that we would lobby on behalf of free car parking for nurses and health staff. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor McLean.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to delve into party politics. I think the motion speaks for itself, and therefore, as a party, we'll support the motion. Thank you.
Councillor Kerr, there was an amendment made there regarding the car parking charges for health care workers. So that, just want to ask if you want to accept that as an addition.
Absolutely, Chair.
Okay, thank you. And no other speakers. So I think everybody's in agreement anyway. No dissent? Yeah, unanimous. Okay, and just like to reiterate what was said there, like, our healthcare workers are invaluable, and they were at the coal face during COVID when nobody knew what was coming down the track, and no PPE, and we know all that. So they deserve a fair day's pay for the work that they do. They're saving people's lives on a daily basis, and it's, as some have said there, it's not just about pay, it's about conditions as well and patient safety as well. And just want to send solidarity to all the workers out there that are striking. They all deserve a fair day's pay, especially now during a cost of living crisis, and just to encourage people to join a trade union. So, Councillor Kerr, just final remarks.
Chair, just like to thank every political party and all the councillors in support. It's great to see that's a unanimous decision. Health doesn't discriminate against any religion, any skin colour, any sexual orientation. So it's great to see support anonymously, and I'd like to thank each member for speaking positively on the motion again, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. And Councillor Mullaghan, your motion.
Thank you, Chair. In August, Conor Murphy and Gordon Lyons met the Treasury to push for a cost of living payment to be released. Following that meeting, Conor Murphy raised concerns that this payment, which is a devolved issue, would not be paid on time due to a lack of an executive. Following this, East Belfast MP Gavin Robinson, then on BBC Radio Ulster, gave a cast-iron guarantee that the payment would happen in November. He stated that the British government would deliver this and were best placed to do so. It is a fact that across these islands, administrations have delivered these payments. The only households not to benefit from a cost-of-living payment are those households here in the north of Ireland. Today in Cookstown, £600 will buy you about 573 litres of oil. And speaking to a local supplier today, the litre price is expected to raise by 7 pence over the coming days. The average home here will use 1,800 litres over the course of the year. So that goes to show the value of this payment and what it means to people in a cost of living crisis. In fact, most people who are struggling will have reduced that 1,800 figure dramatically due to the other mountain costs and food, 20%. Road fuel by 38%, and the average mortgage will rise by £300 per month based on the Bank of England interest rates hikes as people come to the end of their current deals. Today, on the rate increased by a further 0.5%, crushing the ability of normal homeowners to pay their mortgage, and it punishes local businesses who will see their costs rocket and their ability to grow severely harnessed by the high price of borrowing. It was inevitable that interest rates would go up eventually. However, the kamikaze antics of UK's shortest-serving PM expedited that case, sinking UK finances in the most rapid fashion seen in modern history. Liz Truss, by the way, was the DUP's favourite in what became the selection of a UK Prime Minister by 0.24% of the UK population, with absolutely no mandate from the people to instigate the nonsense trickle-down economics unfunded and designed to top up the rich by taking from the poor. Tonight, I presume and expect to hear lots about the protocol, and while it would be interesting to hear what has to be said about that matter, it has absolutely nothing to do with the ability to get into Stormont and deliver for the people who live here. Why don't those who are upset with the negotiated settlement by the British government boycott Westminster, the place where the deal was done and voted for? In fact, and I quote former DUP leader Arlene Foster, this is an era in the relationship, a new era in the relationship between the UK and the EU. Furthermore, she said, people here would maximise the opportunities of the new arrangements that the new arrangements provide for our local economy. The boycott, perhaps, the DUP really should consider is a boycott of the Conservative Party. At every moment and at every opportunity, they have been thrown under the bus. Possibly a right bus, who knows. It happens so often it's hard to keep up, and it appears to me that the old saying goes that whenever you're waiting for the bus, they all come at once. And the double-decker route master this time will be driven by none other than this month's UK Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. Yes, the protocol legislation is paused in order to allow more time to negotiate with the world's largest trading bloc, the European Union. So, Chair, I feel it's time to get back to Stormont so we can help and assist our most in need, so we can agree a package for our nurses and put a plan in place to help all those people sitting waiting for a domiciliary care package. Let's work together so we can support our teachers and our schools. Let's get back to creating apprenticeship opportunities for our young people. Let the Assembly return so we can figure out how we can assist organisations who will lose their ESF funding and keep them delivering their fantastic services. Let's get our MLAs back to work and figuring out how they can pass a budget that can give our public services the certainty to plan for the future. This affects our doctors, our libraries, our infrastructure. It affects our council budget and whether or not we get a good allocation of our rate support grant. Let's get that £600 out to those people who really need it. Those households in Pomroy or Cookstown or in Ballaghy or Five Mile Town who can see the condensation on the window and the mould begin to grow in the corner of the coldest room. Stormont didn't create the protocol. Stormont can't fix the protocol, and it can't get rid of it. It certainly can't fix all our problems. However, at least with local ministers and MLAs in place, they can create programmes and prioritise our spending to suit our place and our people. DUP may think his friends are in London, but I don't think they're your friends. However, you have willing partners here on this island who will work with you to make the lives of our people better. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Bale.
Thank you, Chair. I, like Cahill and the rest of my Sinn Féin comrades, are talking with constituents every day who are really struggling to heat their homes and put food on the table, clothe their children, run their cars for work. They are experiencing higher mortgage payments and higher rents. It is essential from my perspective that whatever we can do as a society should be done to help when it is possible. Poverty doesn't pick between religions or your political perspective. Poverty doesn't care about a protocol or where sovereignty lies. We can only overcome poverty by investing in our citizens and helping them to rise up out of poverty and the constant cycle of high costs and low incomes. And I'd like to second this motion. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Councillor Ashton.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Well, what can I say? I think you know there's an election on the horizon for Evloss County too many times. I've heard the DUP mentioned by the proposer. Instead of focusing on the hardship of our residents with the huge increase in energy costs, Sinn Féin appear tonight to be more interested in attacking the DUP. It would certainly be of more benefit for all the political parties to press the Secretary of State to make these payments rather than trying to politically point score. Back on the 29th of September, it was the then Prime Minister that told the BBC that these payments would be available in November on the same terms as the rest of the UK. The government need to get on with the payments. It's not the devolved institutions in Scotland or Wales delivering it, so there should be no difference made here in Northern Ireland. There's no excuses of why this money cannot be delivered. The funding and the systems are in place. The utility regulator has worked in good faith to create conditions to make this happen. We can sit here tonight and go on about no executive, but the absence of an executive is only an excuse. These payments have been paid directly by the UK government to households in other regions of the UK. Northern Ireland is very much a part of the UK and should not be treated any different. The reality is the UK government should not be using the £600 energy payments as some sort of punishment for the DUP honouring our mandate to deal with the protocol. The UK government are quite content to push through identity and language legislation and the commissioning of abortion services at speed. But when it comes to delivering much needed support directly into homes, support that would make such a difference to households this winter, they choose to sit on their hands. If the Secretary of State believes that he's going to weaken the DUP position on the protocol, he is greatly mistaken. The protocol is continuing to have a destructive impact on political, constitutional and economic life here in Northern Ireland, and the Secretary of State would do well to focus his efforts on resolving this matter so that the power-sharing institutions can be restored. Only then will the DUP be back around the executive table. The sooner Sinn Féin and the Secretary of State realise that, the sooner this country will have an executive. I challenge the members here tonight, are we interested in party point scoring? Or are we interested in actually getting this money delivered? And on that basis, I'm presenting an amendment to the motion to remove the party politics. And I've provided a copy of the amendment to the officers. The motion, the amendment reads, this council is deeply concerned that the £600 energy support payment due to people across Northern Ireland who are enduring severe cost of living pressures has not yet been made. We are concerned that as temperatures drop and winter deepens, many families struggling to pay soaring energy bills will have budgeted for this payment being made before Christmas is promised. And therefore, writes the Secretary of State to urgently provide clarity on the date and delivery of the payments and invites the Secretary of State to visit Mid Ulster Council to engage with members on the pressures households are facing. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Black.
I would just like to second Councillor Ashton's amendment.
Okay. Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And following on the debate on this, the delivery of an energy strategy, which has now only been published, includes anti-poverty and fuel poverty strategies. While I welcome the programme of cavity wall insulation, where it's estimated that 35% of heat escapes through poorly insulated cavity wall and 25% through poorly insulated roof space. However, had we a devolved government during 2017 and 2020, this work could have been much further progressed. These are the only some of the examples of work that could have been done or more advanced during the 3 years Stormont was previously pulled down by Sinn Féin. It was wrong then, it's wrong now, and it is the people we are elected to represent who are adversely impacted. My councillor, or my party colleague, and the Allen MLA lately called on the UK government to urgently intervene. Electricity companies could move quickly to deliver the original energy scheme of either a direct credit for those with credit, monthly or quarterly accounts, or the top-up drawdown for those with prepayment amendments similar to that being delivered in other parts of the UK. To date, they have been able to avail of £66 in October and November, with payments of £67 available in December, January, February and March. And is called for roundtable discussions with energy providers, the utility regulator and third-party charities to push for support for households and movements on the support from the UK government. It is a complete failure that while households across England, Scotland and Wales have been receiving financial support since October, the government at Westminster is still debating how and when equivalent support will be delivered to Northern Ireland households. As temperatures continue to drop, families throughout Northern Ireland, many who are expecting support to arrive last month, are struggling to heat their home or put food on the table, with many having to ration food, electricity and heating. It has already been highlighted that local energy companies have indicated that they can deliver the original scheme to every household with an electricity account, a model that seems to be no longer preferred by Westminster. I have no idea why they have changed their minds at the 11th hour, although with this Secretary of State, I don't think he knows whether he's coming or going. And therefore, Madam Chair, I'm happy to propose an amendment to that.
Can I just pause you 1 second there, because we already have an amendment on the floor, so we need to...
Standing orders, Chair, stipulates there should be one amendment on the floor at any given time, so we have to deal with the amendment that is proposed and seconded, and then we can available for a further amendment to be offered.
Okay.
Councillor Monteith.
Chair, this week I'm sure all the councillors are the same as myself. This has been a really, really bad week for many households. Sadly, as the winter took hold, the cold reality for a lot of houses really hit home. I know most certainly queries I got from constituents this week and last week were very, very much heavily weighted towards the whole issue of heating people's homes and people worrying about being able to warm for Christmas and all that type of thing. So anything that we can do to bring pressure on whoever it is that's going to be responsible for bringing this bit of help forward, we should be doing. I would totally agree with Councillor Ashton when she says that this is within the gift of the British government. But you have to want to solve a problem for a problem to be solved. It's quite clear to me that they don't want to solve the problem. There seems to be some sort of, I don't know, toxic power play going on there. But it's also the cold reality of British rule in Ireland, that how little the people here in the six counties count, how little the Westminster and the London government has any heed on what goes on for any of us. And I think this is another example of how utter contempt the people that live here are treated. I have absolutely no faith that a resumption of the Tweedledum, Tweedledee, hokey-cokey politics in Stormont in the long run will make any real difference to the people that live here either. We have had the charade up there now for over 20 years on and off, and I don't see that the people on the ground have benefited in any significant manner through that. And the reality of it is that increasingly the option that we need to move forward to is unification of our country. Power plays and political psychodramas around setting up Stormont or pulling down Stormont need to be a thing of the past, because their distraction from the cold hard reality to the constitutional issue is that we need to unify our country. And I only bring that up because the debate here has went down that road. If we go back to the issue of our local households needing help, anything we can do to ensure that happens, we should be doing it. And it's on that basis that I would be supporting the motion. I don't support the sentiments of some of the things that have been said, as I'm sure others don't support all the sentiments of what I've been said. But I support the ethos of the motion. If it can help some of our folk stay warm over the winter, and on that basis, I'll be supporting the motion as it is presented.
Councillor Kerr.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, just like to echo Councillor Monteith's comments, I believe to relieve the pressures that working class people face right now, we need the establishment of a 32 county socialist republic. We need intervention by the government. We need access to free healthcare, education. I've mentioned these topics before. I'm not going to bring them up again. I'll definitely support Cathal Mullaghan's motion that there should be financial intervention by the British government, Chair, but I've absolutely no faith in Stormont, so I don't. It's been has been in power for 20 years and poverty still of high levels. Two of the recent bills brought before Stormont, the Trade Union Act, the Try and Reform and Strengthen Trade Union Act in the north of Ireland for workers, it was rejected by Stormont. I'm not saying every political party representing the chamber voted against it, but it just shows you how anti-working class it is. Another recent bill that was brought was a rental freeze, which was originally approved, but for some reason that I found outstanding, it was reversed as soon as it got through the through Stormont. So while I do support the sentiments of Councillor Mulhern's motion, and I hope that there is some kind of financial intervention for people on the lower social economical backgrounds, to me Stormont is not working class friendly, but I will support the motion tonight.
Councillor Quinn.
Thank you, Chair. You know, I was looking at the list of mayors in Dungannon Council when we were downstairs earlier on. I was just sort of thinking what they would have thought in 40, 50 years' time when we had a discussion in this chamber. It'd be Sinn Féin arguing to go into Stormont and the DEP arguing to stay out of it. I think I'd find it quite funny. But regardless, the news that the £600 energy support payment won't be made to people in Northern Ireland before Christmas will be an incredible blow to many families who were waiting for and relying on this money. There will be people finding it difficult to pay their food, fuel and energy bills who have budgeted to the last penny to get through the festive period after repeated reassurances that this payment was coming. People here have been abandoned by the DUP, who would rather use people in our communities who are going cold and hungry as a bargaining chip for their own narrow identity-driven politics, and by a British government who have proven time and time again that they couldn't care less about the issues impacting people in the north. Families in England, Scotland and Wales have begun receiving this support. People in the south are being protected by a raft of proposals designed to defend people from the worst aspects of this emergency. The fact remains that if we had an executive and assembly in place, we would have stood a better chance of getting this money to those who need it. The DUP can keep shouting and protesting, but it is their boycott of the institutions that is punishing people here. The SDLP have repeatedly raised this payment at Westminster, and our MPs have done everything in their power to hold the government to account. These delays will leave pensioners suffering in cold homes, children missing meals, and parents cracking under the pressure of trying to keep everything together. The British government's indifference to the plight of people here should serve as a message to those who advocate for the status quo and refuse to engage in conversations around a better, brighter future for everybody on this island. And we will support the motion, Chair. Thank you.
Councillor Cuthbertson.
Yeah, Chair. I think it's worthwhile pointing out, Chair, that there's a few members across the room here talking about looking at 32 county Republic of Ireland for free healthcare. There's no free healthcare in the Republic of Ireland. Also, in Northern Ireland here, because thanks to the British government, we have a price cap on our electricity from the 1st of November. Electricity is as cheap now as it's been for a number of years. Thankfully for that. Unfortunately, it's only running to the end of March. So there's people going to be in great need come the end of March as well. And you know, there's no excuse that this payment hasn't been paid. The Prime Minister in the past has promised the payment. Our colleagues in Westminster has lobbied for it and questioned the Business Secretary on a weekly basis for it. And it should be paid for, and it should be paid now rather than trying to discover how to pay £600 in the new year. So it should be coming up now. But people just need to be mindful. You know, people say here that there's no support coming to Northern Ireland. That's absolutely ridiculous. And I suppose people will see what people's minds are when it comes to the rate setting in February. Because we hear about people wanting to support people, support households. We'll just see what the parties are doing when it comes to setting the rates.
That's everybody now. Councillor Mulhern, there's an amendment on the table here. So.
Chair, thanks very much. No, I don't accept the amendment. It changes the substantive issue within my motion, which is the reason why this payment has been stalled in the first place, and it's because of the absence of a devolved power sharing government here in Belfast. So on those grounds, I can't accept the amendment.
Okay, so we're going to put the amendment to a vote. Okay, so if I do a roll call, if you can say if you're for or against.
So this is Councillor Ashton for Councillor Ashton's amendment or against?
Yeah, so for Councillor Ashton's amendment or against it. So Councillor Ashton?
For.
Councillor Bale?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Black?
For.
Councillor Brown?
For.
Councillor Buchanan?
For.
Councillor Burton?
For.
Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Colvin?
For.
Himself, so I'm against. Councillor Cotterett?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Cuthbertson?
For.
Okay. Councillor Cuthbertson?
For.
Councillor Doris? Councillor Elliter? Okay. Councillor Ford?
For.
Councillor Gildernew?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Glasgow?
For.
Councillor Martin? Councillor Kearney?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Kerr?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Mullaghan?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Niall McAleer? Councillor Niall McAleer? Okay. Councillor Sean McAleer?
Against.
Councillor McFlynn?
Against.
Councillor Brian McGuigan?
Against.
Councillor Sean McGuigan?
Against.
Councillor McKenna?
For.
Councillor McLean?
For.
Councillor McNamee?
Against.
Councillor Donald McPeak?
Against.
Councillor Sean McPeak?
Against.
Councillor Mullen?
Against.
Councillor Malloy?
He's not here.
Councillor Monteith?
Against,
Chair. Councillor Mullen?
Against.
Councillor O'Neill?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Quinn?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Robinson?
For, Chair.
Councillor Tanton?
Against.
And Councillor Wilson?
For.
Okay, so the amendment fails 21-14.
Okay, so the amendment falls 21-14. Okay, and the second amendment then, Councillor Wilson, we needed a seconder. We needed a seconder for that one. Oh, sorry, Councillor Glasgow.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'm happy enough to second Councillor Wilson's amendment. people have said what they said. I think it would be remiss of me not to mention the protocol. It is the big topic, one of the big topics, and at the end of the day, and people should always remember, the Ulster News Party had been saying and had been warning about the protocol from 2019, continue to warn about it, and will always continue to warn about it. As people, I think as Councillor Quinn had remarked about looking at the names of the former mayors, and it's quite, you know, well, I wouldn't say he said it was funny, but he says it's quite bizarre that now Sinn Féin wants to go into government and the DUP wants out. I think it's very concerning. The fact is, whenever that there is no devolved government, and why, and that is because of the protocol. And therefore, the seriousness of it must be taken on board, and the Secretary of State needs to waken up and take that back. Is within the amendment is talked about that Stormont has been down previously before by another party, there was no talk back then whenever this poverty actually had been raising its head and continues to raise its head. And you only have to see the BBC programme that was on the other night, I believe it was Spotlight, about the most vulnerable people in our society that fall victim to loan sharks and stuff like that, because they are struggling, really, really struggling. And what happens is they fall into the hands of crime. So at the end of the day, you know, we all need to do something. £600, it says, it does go a long way. But as he says, the seriousness of the protocol must be taken on board. If that could be, that needs to be solved to make sure that we actually don't have these conversations again, that the devolved government is put back up, and that the similar situations of like the £600 can actually be delivered to get out to the people that genuinely need it. So it does. So political point scoring only goes so far, but it does not deliver what is on the ground. And the time is to actually take on board what the concerns is within the unionist people, which is the protocol, and now deliver upon to get the £600 to get it out to the people that need it so much. So I'm happy to second Councillor Wilson's amendment.
Okay. Can I just clarify, Councillor Wilson, that's an addition to the original motion by Councillor Monaghan? Okay.
So it's added on.
Okay. And see if Cahill accepts that. Right. Councillor Monaghan, do you accept the addition?
I don't, Chair. The first few lines have no bearing on the substantive nature of my motion, and I don't accept it.
So put it to a vote, the amendment.
Okay, so we're going to put the amendment to a vote, so we'll do another roll call. So it's if you're for Councillor Wilson's amendment or against it. So Councillor Ashton?
Abstaining on the fact that these motions have become party politics.
Okay, and Councillor Bale?
Against.
Councillor Black?
Abstain.
Councillor Brown?
Abstain.
Councillor Buchanan?
Abstain.
Councillor Burton's left. Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Colvin?
For.
Myself, against. Councillor Cuddy? Councillor Cuthbertson?
Can I kind of clarification, is this added on to the end of the original motion?
It would be an addition to the original motion.
I'd be against.
Okay, Councillor Doris? Councillor Ritter wasn't there. Councillor Ford? Councillor Gilderney?
Yes, Chair.
Councillor Glasgow?
For.
Councillor Martin?
Against.
Councillor Kearney?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Kerr?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Mullaghan?
Against.
Councillor McAleer? Niall McAleer? Councillor Sharon McAleer?
Against.
Councillor McFlynn?
Against.
Councillor Brian McGuigan?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Sean McGuigan?
Against.
Councillor McKenna? Councillor McLean? Councillor McNamee?
Against.
Councillor Donald McPeak?
Against.
Councillor Sean McPeak?
Against.
Councillor Mullen?
Against.
There, Councillor Monteith?
Against.
Councillor Mullen?
Against.
Councillor O'Neill?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Quinn?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Robinson? Councillor Tanton?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Wilson?
Okay, motion, the amendment fails.
Okay, so the amendment falls.
And we now are left with the substantive motion, which is Councillor Monaghan, which is put to a vote.
Okay, and then we're back to the original motion then, which is Councillor Monaghan's motion. So if we put that to a vote, so if you're for Councillor Monaghan's motion or against it. So, Councillor Ashton?
Abstaining.
Councillor Bale?
For.
Councillor Black?
Abstain.
Councillor Brown?
Abstain.
Councillor Buchanan?
Abstain.
Councillor Burton? Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Colvin?
Against.
Myself, for. Councillor Cuddy? Councillor Cuthbertson? Councillor Doris, not there. Councillor Ford? Councillor Gilderney?
For, Chair.
Councillor Glasgow?
Against.
Councillor Martin?
For,
Chair. Councillor Kearney?
For, Chair.
Councillor Kerr?
For, Chair.
Councillor Monaghan?
For, Chair.
Councillor Niall McAleer, still up. Councillor Sharon McAleer.
For, Chair.
Councillor McFlynn.
For, Chair.
Councillor Brian McGuigan.
For, Chair.
Councillor Sean McGuigan.
For.
Councillor McKinney.
The money will be very useful whenever it comes. I'm against it.
Are you for or against? Against, sorry. Councillor McLean. Councillor McNamee.
For.
Councillor McPeak.
For.
Councillor Sean McPeak.
For.
Councillor Mullen.
For.
Councillor Mallard. Not here. Councillor Monteith.
For.
Councillor Mullen.
For.
Councillor O'Neill.
For, Chair.
Councillor Quinn.
For.
Councillor Robinson.
Chair.
Councillor Tatton.
For.
Councillor Wilson.
Okay, motion carried.
Okay, so the motion is carried. Councillor Mallahan, some closing remarks.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks to those who supported the motion. I think it's important that public out there know that they have the support of this council in terms of a desire to see this payment be made as quickly as possible. And I thank those who supported the motion, who put their own principles to the side because of the overall objective of that. I do hope that over the coming days and weeks that there can be changes made to the protocol that makes the trading arrangements more flexible, easier for businesses to carry out. I know on a recent visit here by the British Secretary for State, speaking to local businesses, he was told that the protocol works here, that it works for people who are manufacturing and exporting all over the world. And he took that message with him, and that's probably what's causing some of the delays in terms of trying to deliver a suitable outcome. And the statistics released today from the ONS show that the protocol is having a positive effect on the economy here in the six counties. So that's why I hope it's made easier, because for large businesses, it's easier for them to employ people to deal with this paperwork, but for smaller businesses, it isn't the same. But the most important part of this motion is to try and put pressure on where it needs to go in terms of delivering the £600 payment for people who are really dependent on it. So thanks for the support.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And yeah, I agree. People need the £600 payment right now. An executive certainly would have helped that, but they need it now, not in 3 months' time. The cold's biting in and costs going up. So the sooner it gets into people's pockets, the better. Okay, so we'll just move on to confidential business then. If I can get a proposer and seconder, please. Councillor Kerr, Councillor Brian McGuigan. Okay, so that concludes our open business. And thank the public for listening, and advise that the live broadcast will now end.